relevant questions may be aired during the lesson.
Sheni, comment c'est aujourd'hui?
On Monday, like today, we are after the Shivat Chaverim, right? And as successful as it is, on the next day, we have additional influence over us, additional bestowal. Well, nevertheless, we do get up in the morning in a different mood, with wind in our sails. And here, I'd like to ask you, is this how it should be? Or specifically, we get up maybe hardly, it's difficult for us to get up, we feel some fog in our head and darkness in our heart, and we don't understand, and we don't know why are we getting up, what do I get out of it, etc. Until I lift myself from the degree of the beast to the degree of man, when that I awaken and remember I want to be similar to the Creator, it takes time. We see there are such states and there are such states. So, how do we accept these times? Either it doesn't matter to me in what way I get up, and I need to bring myself to the lesson in a particular state, or I'm happy that I'm jumping into a new day with great hope that I have in advance some spirit that fills me up. Or maybe I'm the opposite. I'm in such darkness so that I can hardly wake myself up and lift myself from the bed and also from the from death. So let's see. What do you think? How do we like to get up? Which state do we accept in a way that is more correct in our understanding, in our thinking, and how do we nevertheless process each and every state, either it comes from what we had yesterday, like let's say yesterday we had such a nice, good, beautiful Yeshivat Chaverim, or for whatever reason, I have some good mood out of myself. Well, of course, it comes from above. Or I'm in a state where I don't have a good mood, and I get up with a little bit of bitterness, and that too comes from above. So what out of these three states is best, and how from all of these states do I reach the best state for the lesson? So let's have a little workshop, please. A quick one, with good pace.
Between the friends, like the friends asked us from Moscow.
Rav, so nevertheless, when we get up with heaviness, and later on we work on ourselves and we awaken and reach the lesson already in a good state, so that we have better preparation for the lesson, or the fact that the Creator wakes us up in a good mood, and to begin with we jump out of bed and run to the lesson and we're interested in it, what nevertheless, well, what should we be more grateful to the Creator for? For getting up hardly, without desire, truly like a beast, or when we get up and we are wide awake and we run to the lesson joyfully, willingly. How are we grateful to the Creator for waking us up this way or that way?
בבקשה.
Go ahead.
אמו חזל, אמר הקדוש ברוך הוא,
Our sages said, the creator said, I've created the evil inclination, I've created the Torah as a spice.
This means that there are two parts in creation in general, which are the will to receive in us, that only wants to receive into itself, and in that it is the opposite of the Creator. So this is why it is called the evil inclination, an evil desire. And in order to invert it into a good desire, so it will be like in the Creator, so that we will be in a state which is like the Creator, eternity, wholeness, above all the bad things. So there is a means for it called the Torah. Therefore, I created the evil inclination, and this is why I created the Torah as a spice. The Torah is only a medicine, a spice, an addition to the evil inclination, to our will to receive. And
שהתורה משהו עוסק בתה הוא בכדי שזה יהיה תבלין.
It follows that the Torah he's engaging in now will be as a spice, a medicine, meaning that through the Torah he will be able to overcome the evil and walk on the path of chesed, called right, to pass his will to receive from a will to receive to a receive that it will be canceled, it will be like bestowed. In that regard, it can be said that the Torah was given on the right, named after the action. That it makes out of the will to receive that is entirely evil, entirely bad, actually a good desire. In other words, it qualifies a person to walk on the right path in bestowal.
This is called the first discernment in the Torah.
How does the Torah's upper light influence us? We don't know. But this is how it works.
Where the right is called wholeness, when he feels no lack at all.
Because he's not working out of the fact that he's lacking, but others are lacking and he's filling them up.
The second discernment in the Torah is the left, called chokhmah.
It's not that he wants to receive, right? It's that he wants to fulfill himself with the knowledge of the Creator.
This is considered the wisdom of the Torah. In other words, once he already has the right,
he's entirely bestowing, entirely spreading out, giving. Then after he has that,
which is chesed, meaning faith above reason, and he believes in the Creator, that the Creator leads the world as the good who does good.
He attains that out of himself, that he's doing it, and he feels that this is how it is.
He is rewarded with the giver of the Torah,
because he's performing actions that are similar to the Creator. He's called, from your actions, we know you. By this, he recognizes that this is how the Creator is.
Called the wisdom of the Torah. As it is written, quote, the Torah comes out of wisdom, end quote. In other words, once he believes that there is a giver of the Torah, this is the time to be rewarded with the Torah. It is known that the Torah comes out of chokhmah, and this discernment can be called left.
He is performing actions of bestowal, and it starts to attain what wisdom there is in acts of bestowal, in what form it is possible to perform them. And then he starts to recognize what the Creator is doing, and this is how he studies the Creator. This is called studying the Torah, the wisdom of the Torah.
Meaning that it comes after a person has been rewarded with the right, which is faith above reason, called covered chasadim.
Kiev.
Да, дорогой Раф, вот что значит вот это вот левое свойство Торы и правое свойство в нашей работе, в десятке?
What is the left quality of the Torah, the right quality of the Torah in the ten?
The right line is when we start working like the Creator with faith above reason, for us to have this quality, the force of bestowal on top of the force of reception. And once we acquire the force of bestowal, when we have it, then we, out of it, we also start to understand what are the forces of reception that exist in us. How can they work in it? And then we also study the evil inclination. What is it? What is it? Why is it there? How did the Creator create it? And out of that, we also attain the wisdom of the Torah, because we attain wisdom only in the will to receive. But first, our actions need to be in order to bestow.
So let's assume we've connected with the friends through prayer. We have connection. Now we need to start developing the connections between us through...
No. Now you still need to bestow to one another upon all of the different conditions that the Creator is awakening between you, so that you will be above all of these conditions. Above meaning not that you won't look at it. You do look at it, and in spite of it, you're going above it. The most important is the connection. In spite of all of these collisions, distance, etc. And once you reach a state where the connection between you will be the most important, and it will settle well between you, truly as man in one heart, then you will also start to learn the wisdom of the Torah. Meaning, how shall I put it? Which conditions do we have in this? Which desires do we activate? In what way does the Creator make us, how He created us, how He's activating us, connecting between us? That is, we already start to study our structure, the way He did it, the will to receive in itself. And that way we will study the wisdom of the Torah. For the time being, we're only studying the force of bestowal. That is, what the upper light, how it shines on us, and it lets us rise above our desires towards connection. Later on, from the force of connection between us, we will start to study the will to receive in itself, truly to examine it, to study it, to get to know creation itself.
No. Но это сейчас не наша работа, то есть наша работа все время удерживать только.
But for now, isn't that our work? Our work now is to maintain the connection, yes?
Yes, precisely. Only that for the time being. Ita 4.
Buongiorno, Rav. Come faccio a sapere se sono nella giusta direzione, se mi sento ancora più distante?
How can I tell if I'm on the right track, if I feel that I'm more distant to the friends as opposed to a couple of days ago?
Well, you were given that now, a burdening of the heart, so that upon these new conditions, you need to be connected to them in mind and heart, truly, in each and everything. This is how it is, and therefore, as we spoke about waking up in the morning, when you get up in the morning, you need to be happy that you have difficulty, darkness, that you need to get up through effort, that you don't want it. And this way you advance specifically in such a way. And when you overcome your ego, then you have a new force with which you are now going to create a new plea. When you overcome the ego that grew over the night, and you add it also to the connection with the friends, and specifically with this additional of youth, coarseness of thickness from you and from the friends, you build a new kli, a new level of connection, until this level will be sufficiently high that in it you will start to discover the Creator. Because before the darkness that you discover from it, you will also have the feeling of yes, Dudi.
Why do we need chokhmah? Why not just work in pure bestowal?
The force of bestowal that we acquire on top of the will to receive only gives us the possibility to rise above the will to receive. But in that, we don't build our kli. The kli is built out of us connecting between us our desires and making out of them a new kli. It's like you have pieces from a broken kli and you have to glue them together. So to glue them together, it's not enough that some light of chassadim shines on you. The light of chassadim is enough for us not to reject one another, for us to be neutral, but to truly be connected with each other. You need flesh, you need force, you need oviut, coarseness, in order for you to have a connection between people, and this is only by using their will to receive in order to bestow.
And in chassadim, there's no connection between us?
No. The force of chassadim is only in oviut, shoresh and aleph, and a little bit of bet. Shoresh and aleph, in katnut, infancy or smallness. When we don't reject one another, we don't beat up on one another, we're good children, but it's still children. It's not mighty men. Where the evil inclination also becomes the good inclination.
Covered chassadim.
This means that faith above reason is all in all a correction in the middle, where we can rise above our will to receive, but later on we need to connect between us all of our desires to receive into one complete kli. And it's not enough for us to have chassadim. We need to connect between us in a kli of chokhmah. So then in our kelim, according to the will to receive between us, and when we want to do it in order to bestow, then the lights of chokhmah already flow in there, and in them we attain in practice the upper force. Shai, what did you want to ask?
It mixes up a little bit with things we studied before. For example, faith above reason.
Faith above reason is here the first part of the correction. When you rise to the degree of Binah, from the degree of Malchut, and you are in the force of bestowal. However, it's not the end of correction. It is only a force that you have acquired, which later on, you need to even amplify it in order to connect the desires to receive so that they will all be in order to bestow in practice, so that the light of Chokhmah will also be revealed in the Kli, not only the light of Chassadim. In faith above reason, only the light of Chassadim is revealed.
And how to relate to, should I ignore the fact that, as I recall, we learned that faith above reason is the middle line that you build?
No, it's not the middle line. Faith above reason, it's only the right. You need the left and then the middle. There is more to do. However, for us, faith above reason is what we now want to acquire. This is our goal for the meantime between us. Four.
What is this work where you use the will to receive only in order to go above it? What is the work then?
The will to receive, the Creator created it so that through the will to receive we will build a system so that the result out of this system is that we will feel the Creator and be like Him. what is unclear. Inside, we will all be in the will to receive, and it will be broken into pieces, and these pieces will connect between them in such a system that out of that, the nature of the Creator will become clear to us.
Yes, but if the will to receive exists only in order to go above it, so where is the area of work?
Above it, meaning in spite of the will to receive, in order to bestow. It's not that we disregard the will to receive, we don't use it. Specifically, actually, it's the opposite. The more we advance, the more and more we need the will to receive in order to build out of it a complete system.
So it means entering a perception which is outside the will to receive. How do you go into that? If in my reality I only have the will to receive.
There is only the will to receive. However, because it is broken to pieces, I arrange such a relation between the different parts which is like the form of bestowal. And out of that I learn, what does it mean to be like the Creator, the Bestower?
So Abbas writes that after a person has been awarded with faith above reason, he is then awarded with the aspect of the giver of the Torah. What does that mean?
That he begins in above reason to discover actions which are in order to bestow. This is considered that he's starting to study the Creator.
And what does it mean to study the Torah?
Through acts of bestowal. Acts of bestowal, because from your actions we get to know you. When I perform actions in order to bestow, by this I study the Creator's nature.
And what are actions in order to bestow? How can we do it in the ten?
I take the friend's desire and I fill it up according to his desire. This is called in order to bestow. Make your will as his will.
And can we do it in a practical sense in our work?
We have to do it. We already have to actually implement it in our life.
Again, excerpt 76. We can see that the whole basis is founded entirely on faith.
On the force of bestowal.
That only by faith is it possible to emerge from exile. We should not mind our reason. Although a person is judged according to it, but when a person has the reason to see his true state, it enables him to go above reason. In other words, one cannot go above reason without the Creator's help. But if he sees that he can advance with reason, he does not need the Creator's help. And the main thing that is required of a person is to achieve his own perfection, meaning to be rewarded with Na'an Chai of Neshama. And this comes specifically by needing the Creator. As our sages said about it, quote, one who comes to purify is aided, end quote.
This means we were brought to a group and we were told how we should behave correctly in order to reach connection, and we need to try. But, of course, we will not succeed. And it is good that we will not succeed. And it is correct that we will not succeed. And it is prearranged in advance that we will not succeed. Because how can we perform acts of connection, soul, if this pertains to the Creator, not to us? So, what can we do? In a state where we are not capable of it, we turn to Him. And we demand from him that he will take part with us. On us, what depends is only the deficiency for him to do it. And this is how we connect between us, so that the Creator is in the middle between us. He's performing the connection. He's performing the relation. This is called, he who makes peace in the heavens will make peace between us. And the fact that we discover that we are not capable of connecting, it is only obligating us to turn to the Creator so that he will connect between us. It's very simple. However, we just forget about it. We think that, according to the way it is in our world, that we need to perform the entire action from beginning to end. And this is entirely incorrect. This is our primary mistake. And this is why we fail. We think that we, by ourselves, through our own force, need to reach connection. It will never work out for us. We just have to see in each and every state that we, once we fail, immediately we turn to him, we demand, we cry out for him to come and do it. Like a child pulling his mother or his father to help him in something where he's not succeeding. Next, Dudi.
This is why it is a great thing when a person needs the Creator to help him.
It is considered a great thing when a person feels that without the Creator he will not succeed. Yes?
One's salvation is in being given greater powers from above.
Specifically from above. The greater the person is, the more he needs the Creator's help. And he receives greater forces from above. Yes?
And by receiving new powers each time, meaning a new soul, in the end he will receive the whole of the Naran Chai that belong to the roots of his soul.
This is what he will receive from above, but according to his prayer. Now we need to get used to it, to organize ourselves, to turn to the Creator, to have a deficiency, to raise man, so that through that we will get a force from above, so that he will connect between us, and that force of connection will be revealed between us as the Creator who is dwelling in the group. This is what we need to have. Not to scatter into anything else. Is this... Next, Dudi.
This is why it is a great thing when a person needs the Creator to help him.
It is considered a great thing when a person feels that without the Creator he will not succeed. Yes?
Since one's salvation is in being given greater powers from above.
Specifically from above. The greater the person is, the more he needs the Creator's help. And he receives greater forces from above. Yes?
And by receiving new powers each time, meaning a new soul, in the end he will receive the whole of the Naran Chai that belong to the roots of his soul.
This is what he will receive from above, but according to his prayer. Now we need to get used to it, to organize ourselves, to turn to the Creator, to have a deficiency, to raise man, so that through that we will get a force from above, so that he will connect between us, and that force of connection will be revealed between us as the Creator who is dwelling in the group. This is what we need to have. Not to scatter into anything else. Is this clear? Please ask. Yes, Dudi. It's not clear what to do against the forgetfulness and scattering and
It's deliberate so that we will need to help each other. It's deliberate because that's how we need to behave. Where I remind you and you remind him and he reminds others, and so we all do. It's deliberate. It was done deliberately. There is no random chance here where something just happens. If something just happens, it's a sign we're not doing the right complete action.
So what's our focus? What exactly our focus again? Only the deficiency, turning to him?
I try to connect with the friends. If I feel that I'm incapable of it, and the friends also can't do it, then we talk about it, and then we turn to the Creator. We turn to Him. We demand it of Him. He enjoys it when we make demands. By that, we crown Him, determining that He is the upper force.
What is this act of turning to Him, precisely?
Turning to the Creator, that's a very complicated action, but for now, as far as we're concerned, we offer thanks for having made us, created us, for Him having arranged everything we have, the places we're in, and everything, the situation we're in now, He also created for us, because there's none else besides Him, and we demand Him. We demand He connects us together because that's how it should be according to the plan of creation we get from the Kabbalists who are His representatives who explain to us what He wants. And we're confident, we're certain that the Creator enjoys the fact that we recognize Him to be the Creator and turn to Him for corrections. And He did it to begin with, so that we have the opportunity, the ability to turn to Him, and by that we come closer to Him, we come to know Him more until we connect.
We used to do everything in our lives. Get married, register to go to school, work. We come to the wisdom of Kabbalah. Suddenly we are told, no, you have to ask the Creator for everything. Seemingly we think that we can achieve it by ourselves. It's not within our nature. And we know that this is what we have to do, but we constantly forget about it. And now you keep saying, try. The question is, how long do we have to try? Only in the beginning, when we study, or 10 years later, we can understand that we have to have the Creator.
You must always turn to the Creator, all the time. That's why it's written, I wish He prayed all day long.
That is, if we understand that by ourselves we cannot do it, then the appeal should be constant to the Creator, and we only depend on this prayer, on turning to the Creator?
Yes. Yes. You don't get any power from any source but for Him. And besides, for that power, you don't need anything. The power of bestowal that exists in nature, it's the power of the Creator which you need.
New York 1.
Rav. Должен ли человек и может ли он делать такие выяснения, что он...
Can a person, and should a person perform scrutinies that the person didn't do everything that depended on him before he turns to the Creator for help?
No. You must turn to the Creator's.
Раф, можно спросить еще на шаг до того, как...
A question about... The step that comes before I ask of the Creator. Sometimes I find myself in a state where I'm not capable of understanding what does it mean to connect with the friends. The pressure in the will to receive on one hand becomes a bit smaller, and then I understand that when I try to enter this space, it's like a six-finger. The desire to connect with the friends in itself. Seemingly, does it exist in the person in some way? Or do we have to ask the Creator for this desire as well?
Yes, the desire to connect with the friends we also need to receive from the Creator, but we have exercises we do within the group that help us develop the desire for connection. When I look at the friends and I see that they are able to, they can connect together, and that shows me that they are more connected than me, than the extent to which I'm drawn to them. And then out of envy, I start wanting this too. And then I turn to the Creator. Why don't I have the same desire for connection that the friends have?
Can I also ask a question? We have a friend in the 10, Joa. He got sick and now he is despaired. How can we turn to the Creator and thank Him if we are fearful about it?
No, you have to understand that all these things happen for the best, and you need only ask to see that everything that happens to Him happens so that you all turn to the Creator as quickly as possible and as together as possible. Instead of being in those sensations, be in sensation, the sensation of
in order for the animal to get used to it. How do we accustom ourselves?
We try to influence each other in order to awaken through envy, lust, and honor, to awaken the others. Each one awakens the others in the group so that we're always connected together, all of us, and connected to the Creator. Either in request or in gratitude. Either make a request or say thank you very much. And that's how we should always be connected to the Creator. Us and the Creator.
If you allow me another question, it says in the excerpt that one who comes to purify is aided. So if I come to the lesson to be purified, for sure I'll be aided. But I'm not yet sure that I'm coming to be purified. Most of the time I just show up.
Connect with the friends. That's it. Just make a
Rav, is the appeal to the Creator limited to certain requests, or can I ask the Creator for anything?
You can ask the Creator for anything, but you should know that the request comes on the condition that you connect with the others and have a collective request. Any other request, well, every person in the world makes requests, and there is no outcome to that. Clear?
Tzafon Echad.
North one.
Good morning, Rav. The question is, when I know that only the Creator can help me, automatically it takes away the desire to try to connect with the friends, because I know it's not going to work out because of what you said.
What won't succeed?
What
won't succeed?
I won't succeed in connecting because I know that only the Creator can help me. So automatically it lowers my desire. Why not to turn to Him directly and ask for it?
Because He doesn't answer. He doesn't answer a single individual. A prayer can only come from the minyan, the ten. Only from a ten. Only from a group. If you want to connect with the others in order to come to resemble the Creator and to start getting to know Him through the connection between you, then go ahead, organize the group so the group prays and they ask for the Creator to be revealed between them. They want to know the Creator. Go ahead. It's written, our wish is to know our King. Only in that way. 31.
Can we turn to the Creator even if I did not yet invest the maximum that I can do?
If you connect with the group, that suffices. You can now turn to the Creator with the group. Don't think, look, you're all asking, how do I turn to the Creator? There's no such thing as me, how I do it. It's us, how we do it. And that's why it won't work out for you. You forget it needs to be us.
I can ask about us. Why are we not turning to the Creator?
Because you all don't want to be connected. When you want to be connected, but will be incapable of connecting, then you will turn to the Creator.
You said you brought yourself to the surgery table and you asked to be operated on.
Yes.
How do you reach such a state?
Ask for it, but always be in this plea to the Creator and always as together as possible.
The worlds in the place of this space and air.
Yeah.
Again, the subtitle is The Line is Like a Thin Pipeline. This line is like one thin pipeline where the water of the upper light of Ein Sof expand and extend to the worlds in that place of space and air.
Meaning, after the four discernments of the straight light, direct light came, and the light filled up all these phases of direct light, where the light was, it preceded all those discernments, all those wills, desires, it created them and fulfilled them. Then we learned that the last discernment, the fourth one, was restricted, and then the light departed all those discernments, and then the fourth discernment begins to draw the light again in a very special way, which is called a line. The difference between the circle and the line is that in the circle there is no limitation. The light can fill the entire will which the Creator created, and through the line, that means that the will itself determines the way in which the light comes to it and fills it. The circle is the fulfillment of the will to receive without limitations, and the line is where the light can come only according to the will. The will limits it, restricts it, limits it from the whole circle to a thin line. That's what we learn. So here we see that if in part one we don't have a created being, everything as the Creator created it, that's how it is. But here in the second part we start learning about the actions the created being takes and the extent to which it limits the upper light in terms of the ways in which it can fill it and connect with it and so on.
Sì, Rab, la linea rappresenta espressione della richiesta, una domanda, una risposta.
Yes, Rab. The line expresses the request and answer. Is this a line of connection, communication line?
The line is the measure of equivalence between the will to receive of the created being and the will to bestow of the Creator. It's the extent to which the created being can come to resemble the Creator. That's expressed as the line. The more the created being can come to resemble the Creator, the line becomes wider. The less he can do it, it becomes more narrow. And so the light, it follows that it's the same with the light. The line, or the light can be higher or lower. The line is also desire. It's the measure of desire which was created, in which the created being can resemble the Creator. That's the line.
Ra,
Рав, вот что значит, что мы выстраиваем?
Yes, dear Rav, what does it mean that we build the line with respect to the Creator, that we turn our desire to a tzinor?
From the group, which is the circle, that we want to connect between us, and in the group, everyone is equal, like Rabash says. Small, great, doesn't matter who or what, all of us, we all want to be connected between us in mutual bestowal, so that from this connection in the mutual bestowal between us, we'll reach out to the Creator, and we'll also be connected to Him. If we will do so, we'll start feeling that the Creator shines upon us in some way, but in a form of a kav, only in a way that we annul ourselves, one towards the other, that we're connected one towards the other, and that we direct ourselves all together towards the Creator. That's called working in the kav, in the line.
What
does it mean? He said that the width of the line is the amount of a resemblance to the Creator. What is the middle minimal width of this line?
The same desire that the Creator gave us to be as one. I can't measure my desire in the meantime, or the light that will shine upon me. I don't yet have the kilim, like a baby that can't measure what's happening to him, how much he eats, drinks, etc. If there were beginners or not, if there's room to add, then he adds. But we need to go according to our order. In other words, a tzinor, meaning this conduit, a kav, a line, tzimtzum, restriction of what takes place here with the will to receive. That's what we need to learn, how to resemble ourselves to this line. Tel Aviv 2.
What is yosher and tzedek? It's straightness and justice.
Only according to our participation, equivalence with the light, we receive the light, and then the reception of the light is called a kav.
What does it mean that the ochozer clothes in the direct light?
That in the returning light, that's not correct. It's the direct light is clothed in the returning light. It means that on the intention from our side, to the extent I want to bestow to the host, to that same extent I can receive from the host. PT 20.
Сказано, что тот свет, который не облачается в отраженный свет.
It is written that the light that does not clothe in the reflected light does not exist. Why?
You don't have what to grasp it with. You don't have returning light. We can see spirituality only to the extent that we form the returning light. If we don't stabilize it, meaning the tzimtzum, the restriction, the screen, and the returning light, if we don't do that, then we don't feel it. It exists, but we don't feel it. PT 19.
Hold on, let me understand. He says that the clothing of the reflected light arises by the Zivug Daka is called connection. So what are we doing? How is that related to the 10? Is there a connection to our work in the 10? This sentence?
Also in the 10, we connect by each one restricting their ego and wanting to bestow upon others. And then to the extent of mutual bestowal between us, we stabilize ourselves to bestow upon the Creator, and we reveal the Creator by that.
So our whole business is reflected light in the 10?
Only reflected light, that's all you need. And then in the reflected bits.
Yes, we see how much this article is profound and how relevant it is to our times, and we really should go through it more and more, plow through it, because from it we can understand better what's going on with us, and also to come out to all kinds of places to teach and to spread out this knowledge to everyone. The article is very, very deep and wide. I recommend for you to go back and read it as much as you can, more and more. You'll discover deep things in it. Questions. I think you should read it again. Don't be ashamed. Listen and hear more and more and ask about it. These things are very profound, but we have to know them, to feel them, and to see how in our society, in our world, here and now, all these things appear before our eyes. Please. What do they?
Evan, can you say where we see this today in society so that we can depict it correctly?
What he's telling us is what's happening by nature. And according to nature, we, the people of the world, or organize. Some go by the measure of truth, some go according to power, some according to bestowal. He calls it in a different name, these initial qualities, etc., etc. It's clear that we cannot behave by truth. And instead of that, we behave in different manners. So we organize systems that help the weak, and we give differential payments for mothers with children or young couples, all kinds of things. Meaning we want to compensate, complement what the Creator has not done in a good and nice way. It's as if He corrupted the world, and we see that the world is corrupted to begin with, but we don't understand what is the correction, and we wish to perform corrections outside of man instead of correcting inside man. That's our whole problem. This is why, if we could go according to truth, we would have to correct each and every one. But rather we correct the connections between us, and that's the whole problem. Let's read it again.
Yes, the title is, in the absence of the ability to establish the attribute of truth, they try to establish the basic attributes. Now, let us turn to the remaining three attributes, mercy, justice, and peace. It seems that, to begin with, they were created only to be used as support for the attribute of truth, which is very weak in our world. From here, developmental history began to climb its slow and straggler degrees in its progress towards organizing the lives of the collective. In theory, the whole society willingly agreed and took it upon themselves not to deviate in any way from the truth. But in fact, they conducted themselves completely opposite from the truth, as was agreed. Since then, it has been the fate of truth to always be in the hands of the most deceitful and never in the hands of the weak and righteous, so they could even be somewhat assisted by the attribute of truth.
Here is my question. Do you understand what the quality of truth means? Does it seem to you that they do or not?
I don't think so.
Good. Okay, so we'll go back. We'll try to read it.
the practical, we're going back to the practical difficulties, yes,
in determining the truth. So we're going to the previous title, practical difficulties in determining the truth.
So erase all your question marks on the screens, and you can write down or ask according to the text we're going to read now, okay?
Practical difficulties in determining the truth. When we discuss good attributes in theory, there is certainly no better attribute than the attribute of truth. This is because all the good that we have defined above in the relationship between the individual and the collective is when the individual gives and fully plays his part towards the collective and also takes his share from the collective justly and honestly. All this is but the truth. But the drawback is that, in fact, the collective does not accept this attribute at all. Thus, the practical difficulty in the above-mentioned truth is proven from itself. There is some the cause here that makes it unacceptable to the collective. We must examine what is that drawback. When you closely examine the above-mentioned truth from the perspective of its practical feasibility, you will necessarily find it vague and complicated, and it is impossible for the human eye to scrutinize it, since the truth requires that we equalize all the individuals in the collective, so they receive their share according to their labor, no more and no less. This is the one true basis which cannot be doubted, for it's certain that anyone who wishes to enjoy the labor of his friend, his acts are against the above-mentioned reason and clear truth. But how do we think that we can scrutinize that truth in a way that is acceptable to the collective? For example, if we evaluate something according to the apparent labor, meaning according to the number of hours, and compel each one to work an equal number of hours, we will still not discover the attribute of truth at all. Moreover, there is an evident lie here for two reasons. The first is the physical side, and the second is the mental side of the worker. This is because, by nature, the power to work is not equal in each and every person. One person in the society labors in 1 hour of work due to his weakness, much more than another who works 2 hours or more. And there is also a psychological matter here, since he, who is very lazy by nature, exhausts himself in 1 hour more than his friend in 2 hours or more. According to the perspective of the evident truth, we should not compel one part of society to labor more than the other part for the satisfaction of the needs of their lives. But in truth, the naturally strong and nimble in society benefit from the labor of others and exploit them maliciously against the attribute of truth, for they labor very little compared to the weak and lazy in society.
Up to here, is it clear what's going on? Does anyone want to ask about what we just read? About what we just read. I see. Okay, PT-19.
He asks and he answers
the question.
So let me read it. He says that if you search in the given truth, that it is difficult and the human eye cannot understand this. What does he want to say here? That it's impossible that the human eye will even understand what it's talking about?
He wants to say that for us it's very difficult to identify this attribute of truth. Hebrew 10.
It seems like he measures truth according to the amount of effort, exertion a person puts in. Why?
How else can you measure?
According to contribution to society.
How can you do that? Can you measure the internal forces of a person? That if I exert in 5 kilos and you exert it in 20 kilos, then our exertion is equal? Because I, by nature, will invest the same forces as you did. But you're stronger, you're faster, I'm more lazy, I'm weaker. How can you measure these things?
Latin 4.
Latin 4.
Gracias, Rab. Una pregunta. Yo entiendo que la verdad cada
uno
con su trabajo y debe existir un equilibrio.
I understand that each one receives according to their work. And there needs to be some kind of balance between what a person works and a person receives. But the society doesn't understand this. What's our role here as Kabbalah students?
We should take the inner forces of man into consideration, where each and every one is making equal efforts to others, equal to others. So if you're strong and I'm weak, you may do your work by your forces twice as mine, but it will be considered equal to mine, because that's what I could do by my forces, and you have to do double the work, but it will be equal. That's how it will be.
PT29.
Can truth be kept only on the condition that each one feels the internality of the other one, the internal force of the other one?
Yes, we should, through the connection between us, and with the Creator, we have to discover the force of connection between us, where each one bestows to others with all his heart and soul. And then we reach the degree of truth. We don't take into consideration who's more, who's less. Each one gives 100%. And then we reach the truth. But it doesn't make us equal by that. But we connect this way. And then it all falls into place. There are two conditions here. Each one gives everything he has. Everything in his ability. And to the general connection. And then we complete each other. We're like ants, for instance. Like ants, they do their work the way they do it. Latin 7.
Gracias, Rav.
Thank you, Rav. The 10 as a foundation for a society, can there be some kind of place where we search for the truth in the 10 or not?
In the 10 you cannot find the truth unless the 10 connects to the Creator and discovers how it illuminates in the 10. The revelation of the Creator in the 10 is